Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach. I'm a health and nutrition awareness coach, and I am author and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. So if this is your first time joining us on the How Now podcast, welcome in. We are so glad to have you here. Make sure that you go to www.hownowpodcast.com, choose your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also go to the bottom of the page where you'll see this week's banner for the show, and it will take you to our How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure that you hit the notification bell so that you always know what's happening in the now. That is www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into today's show, where we are going to be talking about empowering our early learning environment. Okay, the one thing that we have been seeing, of course, while we're still in this pandemic or coming to the area where we're getting out more, we're seeing a lot of changes in the childcare industry. And that is something that is near and dear to my heart because, as you know, I do some training for a internationally recognized childcare facility. And what we talk about is how the industry is changing, how we're seeing a lot of new people entering the industry, as some who have been veterans in the industry are choosing to move out of this space. And so we're wanting to make sure that as these transitions are happening, that the environments that are changing around our children are ones that are going to be safe for our children and for those who are entering into the industry. It's something that's so critical and important. And, before I delve into this conversation and before we peel back the onions on this, I would love to have my guest who is here with me to help us to navigate through this space and to talk about what or the early childhood environment is looking like. Okay, so as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have my guest to introduce herself at this time.
Hi, Kim. My name is Kathy Duran Horn, and I am the founder of Intentional Logic Group, LLC. And I have been in the early childhood field for probably more years than I care to reveal, but over 20. So I've definitely seen some changes. I've been a teacher. I've been an administrator. I've been a co-program director. I'm currently a consultant and also a director of professional development for a Montessori Training Education Institute. And also probably all of that, my education and experience, could not have prepared me for my most valuable job as mom to my 8-year-old son. So I've definitely been in this industry as a parent, as a caregiver, as a teacher. So I definitely have seen lots of changes over 20 years, and more specifically, as it relates to our conversation, since the pandemic, pre and post pandemic. So I'm excited about this conversation and I'm excited to be here with you today.
Yes, yes. Kathy and I have history. We have worked together at a certain station in our lives. And, I was, happy to have had the experience of working with Kathy and of, working alongside her in this industry. And, as she said, she's a mom and an administrator and has worked in different facets of education. And so she brings with her some wonderful objectivity. And that's something that's important in this field, to be able to have experienced it and to touch it from different touch points, that makes her, we'll say it, dare I say it, an authority.
An authority.
An authority in this field and in this conversation and can speak to it, from a professional and a personal standpoint. So, we're going to dive into it. Like I said, we're talking about the environment. And in talking about the environment, and I've mentioned this in previous shows, as a trainer, one thing that I say to those that I'm training who are in the field of education is I tell them to think of the children as plants. I said, when we think about the children as plants, if there's a plant that we see that's wilting or is, doesn't look well, do we rip that plant out of the potting soil and throw it away? No, we tend to water it, or we tend to put it near sunlight, or try to find directions on what we need to do to help it to thrive. And we need to think of our children in the same manner. What's going on around our children? What's going on in their immediate environment that's affecting their ability to thrive? And so it is important that as administrators and as childcare providers, that we're providing the safest space and the environment that's going to be ideal for the children to thrive, especially with the younger children, because they're spending a majority of their time in our care, right, Kathy? So
Absolutely.
they're there, and it's going to be a matter what can we do to best, provide that safe space for our children so that they thrive. It's all about thriving. So with that, Kathy, I want to talk a little bit about the experiences or the things that you've seen, as a result of the pandemic. The pandemic came and we saw a shift in childcare because, first of all, the children couldn't get there. So education
Absolutely.
was different. So talk to me a little bit about that experience that you had.
So really, there were a couple of things that came up for me as you were talking, Kim. And, one of them was, I love that analogy of the children being plants. And, when we see them wilting, we don't just, prune them or throw them away or get rid of them. We have to change how we nurture them. And, what I've seen and what I've really been focusing on a lot in my training recently and in my consulting is, how do we do that? How do we step back? I call it normalizing the pause. It's really,
Yes.
something that applies to doing that self-reflection. You take a step back, you assess, you observe, and then you see what you're seeing. I feel like then that should inform how we interact, how we change our nurturing as caregivers. Like you said, during the pandemic, there were a couple things that happened.
Yeah.
A, they couldn't get there. Schools were closed, or, for whatever reason, they were not allowed or able to be in our care. So we saw more children staying at home with family members or extended family or with their parents. Quite honestly, that was probably really shocking and eye-opening for a lot of parents, and they had a greater appreciation for what it is that we do now. With their children. It was kind of eye-opening, even for me myself, doing it with other people's children versus doing it with my own. And I'm like, oh, okay,
Right, all of a sudden you got
now
flowers,
what?
candy. You were like, really?
Exactly. Like, okay, I'm out of my bag of tricks is empty. Now what do I do? But, I feel like that also opened the door for more of that cultural or familial influence, to be at play in the children's lives. So what that had the potential to do was, in some cases, present what appeared to be a delay. So now, post-pandemic, I'm hearing teachers saying, oh, well, yeah, these children are different because they didn't have as much social and emotional development. They didn't have as many social opportunities because we were inside during the pandemic. So the interaction was very limited, as it should have been. But we're seeing that effect on the children's development. They're not as able to be independent. Especially, I work in the Montessori world where a large part of our emphasis is placed on children being independent at an early age and being able to, exist and maneuver for themselves in this classroom environment. And we've seen that children aren't as able to do that as quickly. And then also, if you think about the cultural and sometimes familial influences, how is that household ring? Are they having meals where they're sitting on the couch? Are they being asked to sit at a table? Are they using utensils? Are they, there's so many different scenarios or different family routines and norms or cultural norms that can affect that. So we're seeing that at play more because they were spending more time in their home environments. So then when they're back in the school environment, we're saying, okay, well, they don't know how to use a fork. Why doesn't he know how to feed himself? Why is he not toilet trained by this age? What's happening? Why are they not able to sleep, independently? Well, because they may have been in bed with a sister or brother or family, co-sleeping. things like that that we made as parents, we made adjustments, you know, for the pandemic. And especially because there was a lot of uncertainty about, you know, where it was going to go, how it was going to end, when it was going to end, if it's going to end, you know, all of these things that we thought we were making temporary adjustments. So it's okay short term if you sleep with me for 2 weeks, you know, but then, okay, it kept going and going and going. And then now it's, you know, to the point where I've made it so you can't really fall asleep by yourself at school. So things like that, that we see affected or have more, seem to have more of an impact on the children's development. So what I teach when I'm teaching my teachers and in classrooms doing my consultation, I'm informing the teachers, yeah, we can identify all of those things, but we're really doing the children a disservice if we don't take a look at why those things are happening and then step back to figure out, how do I change how I nurture this child? Because their needs are different, you know, things that I might not have had to teach them initially because they were here every day and getting it and getting the routine. They've lost that. Like you said, they've regressed a little bit, or, you know, different things are at play, or some of them just weren't home, you know, were just at home. So they just haven't been in our care. So we have to step back, and it forces us to raise our consciousness of our tolerance level, of our patience, of all of these things. We can't come to the table with the same expectations of the children when they haven't been given the same opportunities. That plant is not going to grow the same as the other plant if it's not given an equitable amount of sunlight or water or whatever it is that it needs. I've been doing a lot of work in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and I feel like post-pandemic, it's more important than ever that we focus on that equity, because it's not about equality, giving all of the plants or all of the children the same amount of water every day. Well, this one might need a little bit extra water in order to be successful. Same thing with the children. You got to normalize the pause of stepping back, reflecting, seeing, and acknowledging that each child is going to be different. Just because they're all two doesn't mean they're all going to do the same thing. And now there's even more of a familial and cultural influence at play. So there really may be some differences that we need to bring in that equity and make sure that each child is getting what they each need to be successful and to thrive. So it's more of an awareness. I like to call it just a raising of consciousness. Yes. And then you have to look at yourself. What did the pandemic do to us as educators?
Thank you. Thank you.
You got to be real. You know, you take you with you into every situation.
Yes.
So I have to normalize the pause of doing my own self-reflection and holding up that mirror. I like to reference Michael Jackson in my training. I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
That's
that's where it starts. That's the self-reflection. That's the normalizing the pause. Get in the habit of saying, okay, why is that triggering me? Why am I having this issue? Why is my fuse so short? How am I relating to my coworkers? What am, you know, I know for me anyway, being a sociable person, being stuck in the house, you know, was challenging and it had an impact. Some things good, it forced me to slow down, which I needed to. So I do believe that God was, you know, helping me to do that, you know, but also for some of us, it was traumatic. I lost a sibling, you know, to COVID, you know, during that time period. So even that, thinking about people who experience loss, it changes you. It changes how you respond and how you react. So not only are we seeing this difference with the children, we're seeing the difference with ourselves as adults. What am I bringing to this space? How am I different? That's why I love your How Now podcast, because it's like, how am I different? How are the children different? How do I need to nourish them differently now? How am I doing that in an equitable fashion? How has it impacted them?
I was going to say, that is huge. You know, what you said was huge. So many nuggets in there, so many nuggets in there. But the one that resonates with me the most, and like I said, I see this in my trainings as well. It does. It starts with the caregiver. Okay. Because, you know, this was a situation where we all went through this pandemic at the same time. And it affected each one of us in a different way, even though it was, you know, the constant was that you experienced this pandemic, but the variables that came along with it were different from individual to individual. And just like you said, I can't water that plant if we're going with the if we're sticking with the plant analogy. I can't water that plant if I don't have a watering can. Or I can't water the plant if my watering can has a hole in it
I
and
have
the
no water. Right. I don't have any water to give you.
right, there's
Nope.
no water in it, or the water is limited because there are holes in it, because there are some things that I need to take care of, or things that I'm experiencing, because these caregivers, they may be mothers or fathers or grandparents or caregivers for other young children. And
Absolutely.
they were affected as well. And so we just can't say, okay, well, it's your responsibility to deal with what they're calling, quote unquote, COVID kids. If
Right.
I can't self-regulate, how can I
Exactly.
expect the children to
Exactly.
regulate or self-regulate if I
Exactly.
can't self-regulate? And so,
Exactly.
one thing that we talk about in our trainings all the time is that the children get their energy from you as the person who is caring for them for a majority of the day. So if I come in
Exactly.
and I'm like, woo, 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 they're going to be like, okay, Miss Kim, what are we doing today? You're on
Exactly.
fire. If I come in and I'm distraught and I'm fussy,
Wilted like the plant, right?
totally wilted like they are, exactly. They're going to be like, you need Starbucks? You didn't have any
Right,
cereal
what's
today? What's the
happening?
matter
Yep,
with you?
exactly.
So,
100%.
they're going to get their cues and their energy
From us.
from us. And if we're not providing that for the children, then we're doing them a disservice because we haven't taken the time to get ourselves in order before we can in turn get them in order. In order for children to feel safe in a space, you have to feel safe in that space as well, because otherwise it's going to reflect on them. They're going to sense it. They sense everything.
Exactly.
They're going
They
to sense
absorb everything. They
anxiety.
absorb
It's on
everything.
everything. So if
The
you're
stuff you intend,
right.
yeah. I always tell my teachers, I'm going with Dr. Montessori's philosophy that they absorb everything. They have this absorbent mind, especially from birth to six. So when we're working in these early care spaces, I said, there's no switch, that there's no on and off switch to what they absorb. They don't only absorb the good things that I want them to
Right.
get. They absorb the good, the bad, the ugly, the intentional, the unintentional. So why not be intentional? The minute you walk through the door, and I've said this even when I'm teaching in traditional early care environments too, you flip a switch from the time you walk
Yes.
in. You have to intentionally flip that switch. I always use the analogy of you referenced children being with us during their day more than they're with their parents. I say it's a co-parenting relationship.
Oh, it
And
is.
you have to be on point and you have to be intentional
Yes.
about what you want to pour into them.
Yeah.
Do the preparation,
Yeah.
do the self-reflection so that I'm bringing my best self to this table. When I walk into the room, whatever anxiety, upset, fear, anger, all of that stuff that I'm dealing with, somebody might have cut me off in traffic on my way. The minute I step into that classroom, though, I need to leave that at the door. I need to flip that switch. There's the switch. You flip the
Yeah.
switch. The switch is in you. It's not
Yeah.
in the children. It's
Yeah.
in you. So
Yeah.
how you respond, whether you're patient, whether you have realistic expectations of them developmentally, and then taking into account their situation's changed. They're
Yeah.
not, they did for whatever reason, maybe they spent more time home with their parents, and the way that
Right.
their parents discipline is very different than the way that you are able to discipline them at
That's right.
school. So the social
Right.
norms and cues that we would have already implanted or gotten them familiar with, they're not
Right.
having that. But then at the
Right.
same token, the other part of that, what I'm seeing, at least I saw this with my own son, because he, was going to kindergarten that fall after everything had shut down. And, so he had to do virtual kindergarten. Kindergarten with your mom in the next room at the dining room table doing, her work is very
Right.
different than you being at school and having autonomy and having to adjust to the teacher's rules and
Right.
to sit in the classroom and, do what you're supposed to do. Of course, he's much better behaved, not perfect, of course, but, as opposed to me in the other room, listening, hearing him, and I'm saying, hey, did the teacher just have to ask you twice?
Right.
I'm sure
Right.
you're, doing what you're supposed to do. That reels it in a lot faster than if he were at school and I'm nowhere around. So
Exactly.
that's a whole different experience
Exactly.
virtually, So I feel like I'm like that book. I don't know if you remember, this is from our generation. We're probably dating ourselves, right? Back when people read paper books, but that book when that they said everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten. I'm like,
Yes.
what does that mean for this group of children? Because his kindergarten experience, learning to share all of these other things,
Right, right, right,
all of those
right,
social cues and
right.
norms and, rules. I'm like, They didn't get that. He was in the living room at a table, you
Oh,
know, like with a computer screen. Now, on
yeah.
the flip side of that, the technology, the advancement, I was navigating as a trainer how to do, you know, how to flip and do like Zoom presentations and
Yes.
all of this stuff.
Yes.
He is a whiz at it. I was like, man, at 5 years old, you were doing a, they were doing PowerPoint presentations for Black
Right.
History Month. I'm like, and mind you, I'm trying to navigate how to teach him. And I'm like, I'm becoming more familiar with it
All
myself
right.
because I'm being forced to
That's
because of the
right.
pandemic. And he's just like, oh, mommy, all you do is click here, you do that. But he picked it up so fast that I was just kind of like, wow, how'd you do
Right.
that? He did the whole presentation on his own. I'm like,
Right.
in kindergarten, you just did a
Right.
PowerPoint presentation, you
Right.
know, on an entrepreneur. And I'm like, you did it by yourself? Because I had to run out to the store. And I'm like, don't volunteer to do your presentation until I get back.
Right,
Came
right.
back, I was like, he did it already. He volunteered to go first, true to form. That's my
course.
job. He did it first. And I'm like, but how did you, but how did you upload the PowerPoint? How did you navigate the slides? He's like, I did it. I'm like, I asked
Wow.
the teacher, I'm like, did he really do it? She's like, yeah, he did a great job. I'm like, what is happening?
Wow. What?
Why? I'm like, how are these children doing PowerPoint presentations in kindergarten? No, we were counting the blocks and Legos. And
Okay,
as a matter of
okay.
fact, I
This
went
is
to
an
half day
abacus.
kindergarten. Right. It wasn't even required. I went to half day kindergarten. So
Okay.
probably didn't get through lunch, you know.
Okay.
And they're doing PowerPoints, they're doing, you know,
Right.
Google Slides and sharing
Right.
their work. And I'm like, all
Right.
the stuff that we're navigating in the professional
Exactly.
world, they're
Exactly.
getting it in kindergarten. I'm like,
Yeah.
man,
But you
this
know
is
what that
different.
what it does, what it also brings to my attention again. You know, when we were talking about some plants need more watering than others, think about those children that are not exposed or don't have the technology. Their family only has that one computer and they've got four or five siblings and everybody is supposed to be on the
Exactly.
computer at the same time and computers have not been provided to their homes for them. So think about the
That
regression
too,
that
the
took place for
equity.
those who didn't have that access. Like you said, that equity, you know, that were not able to have the tools that they needed to be successful. And what do we do in
Exactly.
that instance? You know, you have six, five other siblings. There are six of you all.
Oh,
Mom
yes.
or dad needs to use that computer for
Exactly.
work. And so they're not going to give you that computer. So y'all just go and play, or y'all just go and sit and watch TV because we don't have any tablets or anything for you to get on there.
Exactly.
The technology isn't there. So yeah, so there are some unbalanced scales that happen there. And then another point that you
Absolutely.
made, even in talking about the transition, the biggest transition for both the staff and for the children is coming into that building. You know, when you ask people, and that's one of the little trick questions we used to ask during our trainings, you know, what's the biggest transition? They're like, oh, when the kids are going, you know, to the playground or when the kids are going to lunch. No, the biggest transition is when they're coming from outside of your facility inside of the facility, because we don't know what was happening prior to them getting there. They couldn't bring their favorite toy, or they didn't have a chance to eat cereal, or their family member was fussing at them. Just like you said, for the adult that's coming in, they could have had a disagreement with their spouse. They could have gotten cut off in traffic. They didn't get a chance to stop by, you know, McDonald's, or they didn't get their coffee this morning because they were running late. They had a flat tire. There are so many variables that happen on the outside that making that transition in is not always the easiest one to make. And so, you
Exactly.
know, it becomes a challenge, you know, in that regard. And so, just like you said, the scales are unbalanced. We don't know what environment they're coming from. We just know the environment and can have control of the environment that they're coming to. And so, yeah, you know, and just like you mentioned, you know, flipping that switch and leaving things at the door, you know, we also know that in extenuating circumstances, sometimes you can't leave it at the door. I remember one instance where there was a young lady, she kept looking out the window in one of the classrooms, and the director asked her, why do you keep looking out the door? Because she was waiting for them to repossess her car. And she wasn't sure if they were going to come onto her work site and remove the car. So yeah, she couldn't leave it at the door because she wasn't sure that if she looked at that door, her car was going to
It
be
was
and she was
going to
going to
be
have to pay
there.
him
Right,
off.
right.
Right.
But
Or
you know,
if, you know.
But you know what I think, because you're absolutely right, we're all human. So nobody is perfect and nobody is able to do that. To me, what I have tried to reinforce through my teaching and, you know, when I'm working with teachers is the ability to have that layer of vulnerability to admit that and acknowledge that. You know, not that you have to tell, you know, everybody your business, but even if I come to a classroom where I'm starting my day and I know that mentally, like, let's say I was in that situation, you know, I can let the director or somebody know that, hey, you know what, I have some personal stuff going on today, so I might not be fully mentally present. I'm sorry, but it's not personal. So then again, it's that same,
it's a conversation.
In Montessori, we call it grace and courtesy, but it's that same grace and courtesy that I'm going to extend, that I'm going to put out there and say, hey, you know what? Even with my co-teachers, when I was in the classroom, that's something that I would do. You know what, guys? I am so sorry. I am struggling today. I'm not feeling well, or mentally I got some stuff going on. So don't take it personally. You know, I may not be on my game today or on point. Yeah. And also having that vulnerability to allow your coworkers to see that you are human, you know, and even the children. Sometimes it's the children. I know for me, you know, when I experience loss or was going through things or having a rough time, those children are so in tune and they can heal. They were watering me, you know, if I was going on a couple of those things. And they don't even know it. And it's so precious and genuine and sincere that it's like, you know what? It's okay to show them that, because you're teaching them how to acknowledge that also. It's okay if you're sad. It's okay if you miss mommy. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you need, again, create that safe space. Physically and emotionally for them to be who they are, for them to thrive. Same thing for the adults. I need to feel comfortable enough in a safe space. My team or my coworkers to say, you know what, guys, I'm so sorry, but today I'm a little distracted. Please forgive me. If I say that on the front side, then nobody's wondering, oh, does she have an attitude? Was she talking to me? Did you hear she didn't respond? It eliminates it. It's vulnerable. It's me saying, I am so sorry. I apologize on the front side. Please extend that grace and courtesy to me. Same thing with the children. You know what? Miss Kathy is feeling kind of sad today. They're like, then they're in turn, then I'm seeing them take care of me the way that I take care of them. Do you need a hug? Do you need you know, or I'm creating a calming space in my classroom where it's not time out, but it's time that, hey, if they're mad, sad, angry, upset, whatever, they can go there, their comfy pillows on the floor, their pictures with different emotions on the walls. You know, there's a box of tissue,
paper, crayons, anything. I want to color, draw, anything.
Hey, you need a minute? You're having a moment? It's multi-purpose. You're having a moment? I know. I'm so sorry you're sad, but mommy will be back. You know, all of those things. Yeah. Would you like to be in the calming space for a while? You don't want to be bothered right now? I can relate to that. It's okay if you need a minute. What you cannot do is, if you need a minute and you're upset, you cannot hit my friends. What you can do is take a moment, and when you're ready, you can come back to the table. You can wipe your face. All of those things. We're teaching them how to manage their emotions by how we're doing it. So if I'm in there and I'm yelling at them because I'm mad at my husband,
That's right. That's
come
right.
in and say, you know what? Miss Kathy's not very happy right now. So maybe, you know, what can I do to calm down? Because again, you're giving them the tools, because they might not have gotten that.
You're modeling for them.
Exactly. We're using these arbitrary phrases. We do that often as teachers. Calm down. You need to calm down. What does that mean? You know, we started saying, okay, breathe in like you're smelling cookies. Now blow it out like you're blowing out birthday candles. That's calming your breathing down. Let's do it again. You're practicing those things in your classroom. And that's what I love to do. That my director would walk in some days, she's like, what are you guys doing? We had the lights down, we had them trickling water on the CD. Sorry, dating myself again. That's a compact disc. We had the trickling water on the compact disc, the lights down low, and we're all laid out on the floor practicing our breathing, because that's what we. And that's how we need to calm down. If we're feeling overwhelmed, it's the social emotional part. It's okay to be in touch with your feelings. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay for you to need a moment. It's okay for them, and it's okay for us. And this classroom is that safe space. This is a safe space for you to explore and express your feelings. This is a safe place for you to learn the cognitive development, the skills, And as the teacher, I'm going to step back and recognize that you're not all going to be at the same level. There are going to be other things at play. Let me see. Instead of criticizing and critiquing and, belittling, I'm going to empower. I'm going to observe. I'm going to normalize the pause of stepping back. Like I said, that applies to so many things, but it's that let's step back and see what else is going on. There's a reason behind every behavior. So it's easy for us to just move forward and plow through it, which is what we tend to do as educators. Oh, you hit him. You did that because, no, let's stop and see what's going on. Oh, you're sad because you miss mommy. Okay, well, when you're feeling sad, here's what you can do. What you cannot do
Absolutely.
is
All
hurt.
about tune. I absolutely love that. I
But we
love
don't
that.
do that. We plow
No, we
through it.
don't. We
Normalize
don't.
the pause, take a deep
Normalize the
breath,
pause.
step
I
back,
absolutely love
see what's
that.
at
I
play.
love that. Normalize the pause. That's true. It's a matter of taking a step back. And I mean, and again, plenty of
In
nuggets
everything.
there. What I love that you said, or what you gave the basis for is communication. We have
Yes.
to be able to communicate effectively. We ha and some of that communication or comfort in being able to communicate effectively is that we have that level of trust, that we trust them.
Vulnerability. Yeah,
It's
it is.
definitely, I'm not going to share if I don't trust that you're not going to send my
Come down
information
the hall.
all over the building. Sometimes childcare is known or notorious
Oh, yeah.
for being, the cesspool of gossip. That one
So
thing.
tacky sometimes,
It's the
yes.
worst game of telephone that you're ever going to play,
Right,
because by the time you get to the next
exactly.
person, it's not going to be anything like what it was supposed to be. But there has to be that level of trust that the person has to know that they can share with you, especially as administrators, that you have an open door policy. You can't say you have an open door policy, but you got your foot on the door
Exactly, holding it closed, right? Exactly,
holding the door
exactly.
closed. Or when they come in, you're doing everything but giving them eye-to-eye contact. But
Exactly,
you're telling
exactly.
them, get down on a child's level. So that way you're hearing what they're saying. Well, you have to be paying attention and not be multitasking while this person is coming and trying to share
Exactly.
with you a concern or something that they have or a need that they have, but they're not paying attention. So like you said, it's important to talk about, having that level of communication where that person feels comfortable, where the child feels comfortable coming to you, where they trust you enough to know that if they share something with you, that it's okay. One thing that we talk
Exactly.
about in our trainings as well is, we say, if you're going, there have been teachers who have gone on lunch breaks and not come back. They're just like,
Absolutely.
I've had enough of this, and they've left. And it traumatizes not only the children, but the staff person or their coworker as well. Because you're like, where did so-and-so go? Where's Kathy? She's gone. What do you mean? She's still, the line at Chick-fil-A is not that long. She's still
What?
behind you. And I'm like, what happened?
How now? How are we gonna get through
What happened? How are we going to get
the
through this? Absolutely. But what
rest
happens is, just like you say, is there's that lack of communication. And I love that you talk about the children, humanizing yourself to the children. You
now?
know, Miss Kim is going to be gone for a couple of days. She's going on a trip. She's going to, she'll be gone for a couple of days, but I'll be back. As opposed to being
Exactly.
gone for a couple of days and the
Exactly.
child is traumatized because they're thinking that you're gone because they've seen
Exactly.
that in the past, that
Miss
somebody's
Susie
left
went
and
to
they
lunch and
haven't
didn't
come
come
back.
back. Right.
And so it traumatizes the children, and then also when you were talking about how we speak to the children and how we say things, oh, go sit down. Oh, go be quiet. Now children repeat and we're supposed to model for them. So could you imagine a bunch of 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds saying, oh, boy, go sit down.
Oh, they do. It's not as cute when it's coming back out that way either. You're like, oh, is that how I
We
sound?
have to
They
be
get
so
the exact same inflection, tone of voice.
Exactly.
Tammy Smith,
Exactly.
you are not listening. Oh, is that how I
Right.
sound?
Exactly. Because if you ask those children, hey, imitate, and
Exactly.
even think about it in your own childhood, imitate one of your teachers. You can go back and be
Absolutely.
like, okay, I can do that easy. And then see how that
Exactly.
comes out. And
Exactly.
is that how you want the child to see you, or that gives you a hint of how that
Talk about
child
self-reflection.
sees
Woo, that's a
you?
mirror
Ooh-wee. Talking about that
reflection.
man in the mirror, honey. Ooh, that's an ugly mirror.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
They're little mirrors. You're absolutely right. And they're going to reflect what it is that they see. And if you're doing that, or if you're giving those kind of incantations, they're going to do the same exact thing. But another point that you make, it's just a matter of making sure that you're not taking the voice away from the children either. As nurturers and as childcare providers, the one thing that we want to do is, look, Kathy doesn't like when you do that. Stop doing that to her. Stop taking her toy. Instead of saying, Kathy, tell Miss Kim, that you don't like it when she does that. It hurts your feelings when you do that. Because what happens is you take their voice away from them, they become adults who don't speak up for themselves.
Exactly.
But we have to be able to set that tone. So just like you said, you're talking about the communication, that is huge. It is huge. Because it comes from the comfort level in that communication, or in how we communicate, is going to come from our level of comfort and or trust and being able to share with that particular person. Yeah. Otherwise,
I think that something else, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. Something else that I've seen, particularly since the post-pandemic, is, being able to do that, I think for you and I, because we are a little more seasoned, or authorities, as you say. I think that, this, I've seen it in some cases where teachers that are now in the field, or who may be coming to it newly, like you said, we're at different experience levels. So those who are now just coming to it, fresh, and may not be coming to it for, all the right reasons. Let's just say that, thinking it's an easy job. It's an easy check. It's, I have children. I've always been
just coming in babysitting.
All of those things. Yeah. Right. It doesn't work like that, because you have to have a level of maturity. So when you're able to do those things and to communicate intentionally and to be present, I think that's the biggest thing that's changed. It's like there's an even greater need for you to be present mentally and physically and emotionally, because you have to be intentional about being able to communicate with the right words, with the right tone, with the right intentions, with the right, behavior that you want them to see. So you're modeling it. You have to be intentional on so many levels that if you come in without that awareness or consciousness, it's more frustrating. You're pulling your hair out. It's a high level of anxiety. Your day is filled with frustration. I always tell people in this field, if you're in it just for the check, it's not going to work. Because you're going to be so frustrated. You don't know what to expect developmentally. You don't know that at 18 months, they're in a dumping phase developmentally. So yeah, they do keep dumping the blocks all over the floor every time you pick them up and put them back. They literally go right behind you after you touch it and dump it on the floor, because they want to do what you're doing. And then two, they're in a dumping phase. So, then we take it and put it up. You're done. You're done with that. I'm frustrated. I'm tired of picking it up.
The toy goes in timeout.
I'm picking it up. Right. I'm like, right, exactly. Then there's that. But I feel like, this level, sometimes the teachers that we're getting now, because there is a shortage, because people recognize, even during the pandemic, for whatever reason, that sometimes they could go make more money elsewhere. So we lost a lot of educators, and what I've seen anyway with the schools that I'm doing consulting, but it's hard. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, okay, if I can just get a warm body, like, can we just get somebody who wants to be in here and will show up? Perfect. We can fix all the rest. But it's like, ooh, if you're not fixing it in the right way, or building them up in the right way so that they're successful, it's again, that equity. Equity is at play in all of it. They're coming to the table. If I'm an educator and I'm fresh in the field, my heart can be genuine and I really want to work with children. That's always the answer we get, right? Why are you here? I love children. I love working with children. Do you? Okay. Well, here's what it involves. Let's start it from the beginning. And tell you what to expect, so that you have a realistic understanding of what's expected of you, of what to expect of the children. And I find that we haven't always had the time to do that now, because we find ourselves in such a shortage that we're like, okay, just put her in there. Just put her in there. Right. You're creating these teams, especially when some of the programs were open during the pandemic. There was no mixing. So this is the team. Like, okay, you're a lead teacher. You need an assistant. Here you go. Make it work. I don't care if it's a good fit, team dynamics, or personality, or any of that. We had to shift the focus away from that to just filling the space and having a body and put anybody in there. Well, I'm doing a lot of team building work, because now we've had to go back and repair that stuff. Like, we didn't have the option to vet people or to say, this isn't a good fit personality wise. Those were not even on the page anymore. It was, you need a job, we need a body. There you go. Oh,
you go.
Sorry, you two don't work well together. I'm sorry, you kind of have to figure it out. Don't kill each other.
Right.
Or if you do, don't get anything on the walls. Like, it was kind of like, it was like they were being forced. And I'm hearing this from teachers, they're like, there was no consideration of a working interview, or see if it's a good fit, or do a trial day. No, that went out the window.
We're
That's a
doing
good point.
orientation and checking off the boxes that they
Yeah.
sign all the paperwork
Thank
and they
you.
do
Thank
everything.
you.
And we
Exactly.
so have to do the
Yes.
onboarding. There has to be an onboarding process
Yeah.
because if you don't do that and don't take the time to do that, and you're bringing people in at quote unquote green that are not familiar, that's when
You're
mistakes
setting
happen.
them
That's
up for
when
failure.
safety and
Yep.
supervision issues
Safety,
take
all
place.
of that.
And then
All of
that's
that.
when we have people coming in from state to do investigations because people
Exactly.
have snapped
Well,
and hadn't taken the
exactly.
time on the front end to onboard them properly, you know, in our
Well, and
desperation, like you
especially
said, to get that warm body in there. We're putting our
exactly
children at
right.
risk and
And
our coworkers at
especially
risk.
more of the orientation and the onboarding, they're doing it on the computer. So it's like, oh, okay, it's not
Right.
an in-person,
Right.
hey, we're gonna sit down and go through this safety, health and safety training like we used to do,
Right.
over quality assurance.
Right.
We're not doing a
Right.
health and safety training. Here's the 16 steps to the diapering process. It's like, here, can
Right.
you watch this video on diapering and then sign this page that you watched it?
Right.
Okay, great, your training's done. No, I'm like, we just, and I'm not criticizing, but I feel like that's
Some things need to
definitely
be
something that's
hands-on.
different
Yeah.
now. It's different. We're trying to get them in as quickly as possible, so we
Right.
don't have that luxury of time and, well, or we don't normalize pausing to make
Right.
sure that we're setting a solid foundation before
Yeah.
we're throwing them in. So we're having to correct it on the backside. Now you got to
Yes.
go and do a training on health and safety because someone fell or did something. Now a child got
Absolutely.
hurt
That's exactly
because
what
this
happened.
staff person wasn't
Right.
efficiently trained on how to create a safe space mentally or physically, or supervision on the playground, or they don't know that they should be in a triangle formation or be
Right.
positioned in the classroom with their backs, like so that they're facing all of the children,
Right.
things like that that I see have fallen by the wayside because there's an urgency that's
Right.
there. And it's unfortunate because the children are the ones who suffer, the coworkers are the ones who suffer, and it becomes
Right.
this vicious cycle of people coming in and going out because now they're frustrated. Now
Right.
I've been brought up on an investigation. Now I don't
Right.
know, like there's this vicious cycle that's happening now
That's it,
that I
yeah.
think it's really critical too. What I'm seeing, I don't know if you are feeling this too, but I feel like it's so critical now because you do have these children who need more. In a lot of instances,
Yeah.
they need more nurturing. They need us to be present more. They need us to be in tune with what they need and to step back and take into account the deficiencies or not even deficiencies or delays, but cultural or familial
Yeah.
influences or
Yeah.
pandemic influences at play. They might not be where our, 2-year-old class typically would have been
Right.
pre-pandemic. I might have
Right.
been able to run my classroom this way then, but I'm not able to now because the children are at different levels.
Right.
They need
Right.
something different. They need more nurturing. So to me, I see that it's critical now. It's such
Yeah.
a, there's such a
It
need for this independent consulting, this,
Yes.
coming in, this personal, hey, let me talk to you. Let me show you hands-on training. Let me give you real examples from your classroom that you can
Right.
relate to. So
Right.
not just
Right.
something that you clicked through on the computer and checked
Right.
and said you did, and we put it in your file.
That's it.
It's just
Because just like
different.
you're saying, you have some, you know, because some of our seasoned teachers are leaving, they're not even there to be the mentors and the coaches that we need
Exactly.
for them to be.
Exactly.
And
There
then, you
isn't
know,
that
the
coaching.
demand for
Yeah.
that teaching and coming in, can you come into my classroom and show the teachers where there would typically be someone who was there,
Right.
boots on the ground? Because
Modeling, right?
even for trainers who come in, even if we go into that classroom for that one particular day and walk with you through your classroom, who's going to pick up, you know, where we left off? There needs to be
Exactly.
somebody
Right.
there who makes sure that that continuum continue, you know, that it or
Yeah.
that trajectory
The
continues.
momentum continues, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
How is it going to happen if we're just there for one day as a trainer and then we're gone? You know, who is there that's going to hold it down for us while we're gone? You know,
Exactly. Exactly.
we can't be in all places at all times. And
Exactly.
so there needs to be that coach or that mentor or someone that is physically there in the building. But if everybody's new,
Exactly. And
who are
there
we
isn't.
pulling from?
Exactly.
You know?
How? How now?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Where are
Exactly.
the resources that we need? And that is something that is really, like you said, a challenge. And it becomes a point of contention and frustration, especially for those who have been in the field for a long time. And they've been like, I've never in my life seen anything like this. You know, I
Exactly.
think about
Exactly.
public
It's
school
different.
teachers who I
Yeah.
know who, have been in the field 25, 30 years, and this is the first
Mm-hmm.
time now they're being tasked with having to do virtual classrooms. They've never had to do that
Right,
before. So for
exactly,
some of them, that learning
exactly.
curve was a little hard, and they're like, you know what? No, I
Is
can't
it?
do this because I've always, for the last 25 years, I've always done it
This
this
is
way.
how
And
I've
now
done
you're
it. Yep.
right. Now you're wanting me to come in and do all this, and now the demands are different, and now you don't even have people that are able to do it. Now I've got to do double the work. And for a
Yep.
lot of people, they were just like, you know what? Nah, I'm just gonna go ahead and call
I'm
it.
good. Yep.
I'm done. And
Exactly.
we've lost a lot
Look,
of
I'm gonna go work
talent.
at Chick-fil-A for however much an hour, you
Oh
know?
yeah, I'm gonna go buy, I'm gonna go DoorDash. I'm gonna go
And your
and
benefits,
do all
hey,
that.
you know
Yeah,
what?
I'm gonna
I'm good.
Uber, Lyft.
Yep.
They're gonna do all these other
Flexibility in
things.
my schedule.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm pursuing
And
other
then I don't
options.
have to worry about, catching hand, foot, and mouth disease either, or any of the
Exactly.
wonderful diseases
Conjunctivitis.
along with being
Exactly.
a child. Right. So, for a
Exactly.
lot of people, they're just like, yeah, I'm out of here.
It's like
And
the pros
so,
and the cons.
absolutely,
Yeah.
you weigh it,
Why
and
would I?
for some of them are just like, no, I only had a couple of years. I'm just gonna go ahead and call it. Or they're just hanging in, or what they do is they check out. We've heard
Exactly.
about that whole quiet quitting thing where people are just staying on. I'm just going, take check. I only got 2 more years. I'm just gonna ride it out. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just gonna come in, be present, collect my check on at the end of the week, and I'm gonna go about my merry way. And that's not
That's
what the
exactly
children
it.
need, and that's not what they need. So,
No.
the needs are not just baseline for the children, they're for the staff as well.
Exactly.
Because
As a
if
whole.
they're not in an emotionally sound place, or if they're not in a place of healing, they're not going to be able, they're not going to be able to pass that along to the
To
children. They're
nurture
not going
anybody
to
else.
model a
Nope. Can't
behavior
pour from
that
an
they
empty
can
cup.
implore themselves. So,
Can't pour
it's
from an
true.
empty cup. Absolutely.
Yes,
So if they're
yes.
burnt out, which I think that's the other thing that I'm noticing, is that administrators, when I'm working with administrators, I understand for all of the reasons that we just listed and all of the stuff that's happening and the needs are changing and all of that. But I'm finding that when you have those teachers who are expressing, hey, something's got to give,
Yeah.
or hey, I'm feeling burnout, that administrators aren't necessarily listening to that. It's not that they're not
Yeah.
sympathetic to it, but on some level, it is that they're unsympathetic to it. It's more
Right.
about, look, we got this bottom line. I need you to just go back in there, do your best. You're just gonna have to tough it out. And I think, unfortunately, I think that's part of the, I think if I had to give advice to administrators, which I try to do now when I'm consulting, it's, you gotta listen. If somebody's telling you that they're burnt out, and somebody's telling you that, hey, I need a little more, I need you to step up. And I'm not talking, financial and things like that, but
Right.
I'm saying sometimes it's financial. But, if they're telling you, hey, here's what I need, like you're burning out the good people who were committed, and now, like you said, they're ending up in that phase where they're just like, yeah, it's pointless to express my concerns. They're not going to change it
Right.
anyway. They're not going to listen anyway. Everybody's saying tough it out or do whatever. And I'm telling the administrators, like, no, I'm not just hearing this from new people who don't really have that solid foundation yet. I'm hearing it from the seasoned teachers who
Right.
have been committed, who are committed to their job, who have been doing it even though the pay is never what, it's never quite equitable or fair in this industry. They have been toughing it out because they love the children. They have been connecting with the parents and doing all of the things that we're suggesting and, treating these children as if they were their own and nurturing them and watering these gardens. And if they're telling you, hey, I need to feel your support. Because I know for me as a teacher, that was one of the worst things. And so I try to be very conscious of that. I said that was the worst thing as a teacher to not feel like I had the support of the administration. And I'm like, no, that doesn't
Right.
work. That helps
Right.
me do this job. I'm making you look good because teachers are the front line, whether we
That's
like
right.
it or not.
That's
Somebody
right.
gets hurt, my child gets hurt. I may get the report from the director or administrator, but I'm still going to go ask his teacher.
That's right.
So, what
That's
exactly happened?
right.
Because he's with you. You're my co-parent, right?
Right.
Partnering with parents. You're my co-parent here. So, I'm sorry. You're the front line.
Right.
It's my responsibility. So, I need to have the administrator support. So, I'm saying,
Absolutely.
administrators, listen, be present, make them know that you care, help them know that you're in, even if you don't have all the answers, you may not be in a position to change
Right.
whatever it is that they're needing, but let them know that, again, it's about that safe space. Let them know that their office or the relationship is a safe space for them
Right.
to express their needs and that you're going to listen and that within your power, you're going to do what you can to support them because they're making you look good. Like they
That's
are
right.
the front line. So listen when they're telling you that. I think that's the biggest thing. I think for me, when I'm thinking about how now and the things that we need to do outside of, you know, like post-pandemic, be
Yeah.
present for the children, be
Wow.
present for the staff, be present for each other, be vulnerable, you know, mentally and physically present,
Yes.
be supportive, be, you know, communicate, have effective communication. And with all of that, be intentional about all of those things. Be intentional about holding space for a staff member who's saying, I'm having some issues, or I'm feeling like this is happening, I'm having a struggle, in whatever way. It can't be like, okay, well, you're always going to side with the parents regardless. You know, it's, you got to be in tune. You got to be present. You got to make people feel like you actually care and that you are paying attention to providing that equity, whether it's with teachers and staff, whether it's with children, whether it's with parents. And it's a lot. It's a great responsibility. But, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. We have the unique opportunity of shaping or potentially shaping the future. I don't contend that we're the loudest voice in the ears of the children. And we know, like we said, there are familial and cultural influences
right.
that play in their lives. And maybe they'll remember pre-K and early K, maybe they won't. But if we can plant a seed, like planting those seeds of respect and kindness and grace and courtesy and listening and expressing yourself and empower them so that they learn these voices. Look, 90% of their brain development happens between birth and age 5 or 6. So that's a lot of stuff that we can lay the foundation, put those seeds in there, empower them now so that maybe it'll stick. It's like the spaghetti, you throw it against a wall. Maybe
that's
something
right.
will stick. So maybe it'll be the kindness that sticks. Maybe
right.
it'll be the respect for differences that sticks. Maybe
right.
it'll be the compassion or empathy for one another that sticks,
right.
you know, but we got to be intentional and keep doing it on purpose.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I absolutely love it. Honey, nobody can wrap it up better than you on that one. Yeah, and that's what it is. We understand that it's a process. It is
it
a
is.
Process. You know, we are in the age of technology, and there are so many things. I mean, if we want to know anything, we Google, Siri, Alexa, everything.
Look, as my son says, search it up on your phone, search it up on my phone,
search it up,
search
right.
it up, mom. What
right.
does it mean? Search it up, just search it up.
Right.
I'm like, oh,
the whole
search.
Point of it is, like you said, the only way that we're going to be able to respond as opposed to reacting.
Exactly.
Is by educating ourselves on what it is that we're seeing around us. What is it, like we said at the top of the hour, what is it that changed?
Mm-hmm.
What is it in the environment that changed that caused a change in behavior or that caused us to lack what it is that we need? And how do we go about finding the resources to replenish what is missing? And what is it that we can learn so that we can better respond as opposed to react to the things that are going on around us? So that again,
the actions are emotionally
proactive,
charged.
Right. That we're being proactive as opposed to being reactive.
Yeah.
What are we
yep.
doing so that way is going to be the best experience for everyone involved? And like I said, you gave us some wonderful steps and tips on things that we can do. And we see that it's not just at the base level with the children, that it starts with the staff as well, that it starts with the administrators. And we all have a responsibility to work hand in hand so that we're creating a safe space and a safe environment for everyone involved.
Exactly.
You know, and it doesn't get any better than that. So, Kathy, do you have any last words that you want to leave with our listeners regarding, creating that powerful environment for our children?
No, I think that we've definitely covered a lot. I absolutely enjoyed the conversation. And, you know, I just hope that even if one person takes one thing away, you know, just again, like I said, I am working on a book, and there's a book in the works, Normalizing
Beautiful.
Pause. So definitely feel free to check out my website, www.intentionallogicllc.com. Actually, I'm sorry, it's intentionallogicgroup.com. Yes, and definitely, you know, look for that to come soon. Again, just take away that nugget, however it looks for you, even considering the fact that you may be different after the, you know, post-pandemic, how you do that now, like you said, and all of the things that you are, you know, reinforcing taking that time to figure out what it looks like for you now. How are you different post-pandemic? Because you take you with you everywhere. So that's the first place to start. I think if you're looking for, you know, how to figure out these answers, like I said, start with the person in the mirror. You're going to take you everywhere. Be honest with yourself. Get in the mode of then normalizing that pause and that self-reflection of how am I different? So that's going to dictate everything else, because you're going to take you into every situation, every conversation, which I am so happy that you held space for me to have this conversation with you. And I look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Oh my goodness. All right. Okay. So like I said, like Kathy said, you know, if you want to learn more about what she's doing, her program, and learning more about her upcoming book, Normalizing the Pause, go to www.intentionallogicgroup.com, and that will be in the description when the show airs. So you'll be able to get in contact with Kathy and find out what's happening in her now. Okay, now, as I ask all of my guests before I close each show, how are you living in the now? What are some things that you are doing to navigate in this space that we're in?
Okay, well, that has been a journey, which, you know, I think everything is a journey, right? So going through navigating the now after the pandemic, like I said, it was very traumatic. You know, I did lose a sister during the pandemic, so that has been very traumatic. I think that was definitely, you know, dealing with that grief. It took a minute. You know, I've experienced grief and loss before, but, you know, for my sibling, that was just, it was very tragic in this way, like with the pandemic and not learning, but it was definitely an experience, as they say, that whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So definitely. And you know, that grief is still there, but, you know, I think if anything, it's made me value the time that I have more, spending more time with loved ones, being more intentional about putting myself or being honest and in touch with how I'm feeling, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and also going through that process, realizing that I don't really owe anybody an explanation for how I'm feeling or what I need to do. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to, you know, I can just be present, being in the moment, being in the now is really what I'm trying to do. And whenever I find myself, you know, I'm a little bit of a control freak, just a tiny bit. And I like to be, you know, doing lots of things and I have my hands in lots of things. So I'm all over the place. But, you know, when I try to make sure that I'm feeling like I'm overwhelmed, I'm taking time. I'm saying, hey, you know what? I need a minute. Whether it's telling my husband or my son or even my job, like, hey, you know what, guys? I need a mental health day because I need to just breathe. I'm not going to be any good to anybody. You know, I've said that for years. I've heard that for years. You can't pour from an empty cup. But now I feel like post-pandemic, I am actually taking more time to be intentional about that space and allowing myself that grace and courtesy. That's why I'm more conscious of that. Like, okay, I would, if somebody else came to me and said, hey, here's how I'm feeling, or, you know, I would in a minute give them the advice, oh, you need to take time for you, girl. You need to, you know, take a bubble bath, do whatever you need to do, figure out what helps you relax. Okay, physician, heal thyself. Girl, you need to take time and relax and do what's going to work for you. So trying to be more intentional, you know, maybe I'm scheduling it. Maybe I'm, you know, and not feeling, you know, I'm being unapologetic. That was one of the things that I could say about my sister. You know, she was unapologetically her. And that's something that I've been trying to live by. Like, you know what? I can be unapologetic about that. As long as I'm being intentional about what I want to do, how I want to do it, even the words that come out of my mouth, normalizing that pause. Okay, let me take a step back and giving myself the grace and courtesy to know that I'm not perfect. I'm only human. I'm still a work in progress. Thank you, Lord. You know, the grace that he extends to me is the same grace that I try to extend to me. You know, that same grace that I extend to others and that empathy and compassion. I got to have that for myself too. I got to allow myself that same space to say, you know what? A minute ago, that wasn't my best moment, but I have the opportunity to change that going forward. And I try to tell my son that too. You don't have to let your moment, a bad moment, define the whole day or your whole life. You know, you have the opportunity to change it. Who can you control? You. He doesn't like when I say that because he's learning that at eight. You know,
Okay.
I'm trying to tell him, I'm like, well, I know that you hit your friend because he pushed you, but how did that work out for you? Who can you control? What could you do? You know, he's like, Josiah. I'm like, right. You control Josiah. You can control you. You can't control what anybody else does, but you
That's
can
right.
control you. How you respond, how you react.
Right. That's
How did
right.
that reaction get you? Okay,
All
then
right.
do something different intentionally. So that's what
There
I'm doing now and trying to focus on, you know, empowering others. That's what, you know, I've really been trying to be intentional about that in my conversations. Like, okay, what is it? And acknowledging I don't have all the answers. I love the sound of being an authority, but I always start my trainings by telling everybody I am not an expert. I've had experience and I'm happy to think through the process with you. I'm happy to facilitate the
I
conversation
love it.
and create the safe space for the dialogue. But, you know, hey, we can figure it out together. And new stuff
And
comes up all the time. So just being intentional about it and
yeah.
being more, you know, in the moment, in the now. I
Yeah.
like being in the now. So.
I love it. I love it. Just like you said, we can't say any better than Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Just like you said,
Absolutely.
it's all about starting with us, starting within, and then, you know, moving forward from there. Said that way, like you said, that cup is full, like you said.
If you don't like what you see in that mirror,
That's
yeah,
right.
exactly,
Heal
girl. Do what
thyself.
you need to do for
Heal,
you.
right. Heal
Be intentional
thyself.
about it, girl.
Okay.
Right? You know, that's
Okay. Don't make me get a
the
puppet, honey, with a little with some locks on it. Yeah, talk about
Stop
I gotta
the
heal thyself. Okay.
You
All
should
right, I'll do
get a
it.
puppet.
I'll do
Girl,
it.
you
Do
should get a puppet. Okay. You know,
All right, but honey, it was a pleasure
I
having
love
you
it.
take time and like I said, and holding space for you to talk about this timely topic, especially as you know, school is let out for the summer and you know, it's going to be just a few short weeks before we'll be heading right back into the schools
I
again. You
know,
know,
I
we used to act
know.
like summer was 6 months, and it, you know, it was only you know 8 weeks, a little bit. Then it's time to go back in and start all over again.
Exactly.
You know, but
Exactly.
thank you so much for taking time to come and have this you know vital conversation, this enlightening conversation, you know, with me. And know that you know once you come to How Now, you're always welcome back. So when
Oh,
that
thank you.
you know hits. We'll have you come back and we'll talk more about that. Again, they can reach you at
Absolutely.
www.intentionallogicgroup.com. And again, like I said, you're
Exactly.
part of the family now. You're always welcome back because what's happening right now may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, or 2 years from now. So
Exactly.
you're
Exactly.
always welcome to come back. We're
Thank
happy to
you,
have you.
Kim. Thank
Okay.
you.
Thanks so much for being here, darling. And
I
that will do
appreciate you.
it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until I see y'all the next time, I'll say peace.
Bye.